Blog Talk Radio.
Be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports Index.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Always touched by those two introductions. The legendary Larry Legend Hardy, the greatest American sportscaster in the history of New York City radio, making the greatest of all time, Mel Cosell Smith Jr., the man who coined the phrase, the sports and definition, the man whose classic lines to him were great, a point well taken, and possibility for fight of the year. We have that. Coming up with Kovalov and Ward. Last night, Manny Pacquiao came back. First fight back. World champion, Pac-Man, one of the best fighters around, one of the best fighters ever to enter the ring, and considered by some the best fighter of the last decade. Yours truly, not included. Giants Jets big football games today. Knicks are playing today after winning in Chicago. They're back home. Vegas, that's the best. They played in Chicago
to Friday. And they're back in the, well, there's time in between, but just, you know, crazy schedule. Giants, Jets, big football game. Jets and Giants signed to extend winning streak. We have a winner at the marathon. And, wow. I remember when Dimney was 16. She just hit another birthday. And her 16th birthday, we were at Chatham on the Green, along with my late dear friend Joe Goldstein and my still beloved friend Dave Fisher. Special time, special moment, Leroy Neiman. It's right across the street from the city. Big football games today. Buffalo Bills are playing Seattle tomorrow. Jets win today. And the Bills lose, just moved to second place. Dallas Cowboys, how about them Cowboys? 6-1 going into Cleveland. Consensus that they should come out 7-1. Giants and Eagles, somebody will get hurt today. No matter what happens, a win, a loss, a tie, because the Cowboys will benefit one way or the other. Eli Manning and the Giants coming off a bye, and I think they have a bad record. But I think the Sicily, the team with the bye, Sicily does well. Sesame says, hey, sayonara. The Mets will see if they can get back together again like they did that last year. The sound of is always apropos. The weather here is in the high 50s here in November the 6th. We expect it to play a Minesville playground to check the south of the country. Yesterday, Odell Beckham and my niece Nia during the course of this DJ Albert on the third, along with the late Paul Jackson. Second longest man, third longest man out of all the heavyweight championship, Larry Hart. Hi, home, my beloved family. Some of that is so apropos. There's some of my students out there. Shout out to our number one listener, both of the family, Rosie. Mark does not miss a show, not one single show. Westbrook. Rain. Stephen Curry. He's going to talk about the hoop stuff. Lakers beat Golden State the other day. I think they got a shot at 7 games, but not at this rate. Was it a block by player in Stephen Curry? Never. That's ID at noon. They're going to get reports too soon. And we're also going to do two, as we always do. The Cool McGang stop. John Coltrane, music and prayer, here on a Sunday. On a Saturday, keep the cold. The day, Lord, it may. Over. Wow. For the Block Talk Radio, the Network, big show last night. Next video's coming back. We'll put you just some synopsis on what happened. Ties to Pacquiao would win, just he said he wouldn't. Pacquiao would win. Well, he didn't even know. For the Block Talk Radio, the Structure Guard Network, now it's time for our Sunday prayer. Now, what you're doing, close your eyes, take off your hat. Stop walking, stop talking. Let's take a minute or two to give praise to the one and the only true God. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. We thank you, Lord, for little things which we'll largely take for granted. This morning, getting up, last night's laying down, food on our table, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, clothes in our right mind. So we ask that you bless all our families here. At Sports and Death, on the Sports and Death Medicine, and all our fans. We ask that you go across to my beloved Brazil, Porto Redondo, Garcia, São Paulo, Rio de Janeiro, Bahia, back here, New York, every borough, out in Long Island, down to Virginia, Florida, all over. Dear Lord, we know not what tomorrow will bring, but we know who brings tomorrow. Well, we thank you for the blessing that come, will come. All honor and praise in your holy name. In the name of your darling son, say thank you. Bless us. Forgive us. Be this name, Lord. Amen. He's here. Basketball, baby. But who's going to have this plan today? We're at home again. And start a little bit of tricky. From the top of the team, I shot this way to the ball, right to the middle. Who's up?
What's happening on the basketball scene, baby?
Hey, how you doing? Hello, Sports Nation fans. I just want to say one thing. I want to congratulate the Chicago Cubs on the World Series. Well-deserved. 108 years. One of the best baseball series I've seen in a long time. That was a great series. And wish the Cubs
all
the best.
I'm glad you brought that up, too, because that was a very interesting thing. I've long said that managers don't win games. They lose them.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, I'm looking at Madden, and he did all he could. I mean, Phil Mustnick was on the money when he talked about Madden's decision in Game 7 to remove Kyle Hendricks, who had only thrown 63 pitches. And I don't go with the pitch count. But he only thrown 63 pitches. He was up 5-1 with two outs and a run on first in the fifth inning. It was the fifth inning. He's up 5-1. He's got two outs. He's only threw 63 pitches in five innings. And you know, how do you pull the guy out? Up 5-1. They were lucky. Well, good luck designed it that way. That they won. But how did he pull out a guy up 5-1? Okay, so we're looking at the scoreboard. It's 5-1. Okay, he's got two outs in the fifth inning, and he's only thrown, and I don't buy the pitch count, 63 pitches, and you pull him out of the game. And the game got tied up. It's crazy.
Some series. I think that's one of the best series in a long time. Really good series. Well deserved. Both teams deserve both credit. Hell of a series, let me tell you. I really enjoyed it.
Well,
really did.
Well, you know, it's always good to see a 7-game series. But when you see little things like that, and you say, you know, luckily, Wayne covers all, forgives all, and deletes all. But, I mean, how did he pull out his pitcher up 5-1, two outs in the fifth inning, and only there was no logical reason to rationalize him doing that. You're up 5-1. He's got two outs. He's only thrown 63 pitches. It's all crazy. We're going to do something here today that we haven't done in a while. So, while we got you here, Hoopster, and Marathon
Sunday. You said you wanted to hear some more basketball, right?
Yeah. Hold on a minute. What we want to do, too, is I want to play the national anthem here. It's Marathon Sunday. And let's take a quick break. Marvin Gaye is going to do the national anthem. You know, he closes out here with Save the Children. And now he's going to come on and let Marvin do the national anthem as we've done our prayer to open up Sports In Depth a little differently than we normally do. Mr. Gaye is on the way to have his say. We've got some basketball happening. Hoopster, Knicks won a big game out in Chicago. Man, you know,
they played good, yeah. But Golden State ain't looking too good, everybody. Not looking good. Not at all.
The Lakers beat them the other day, didn't they?
Beat the hell out of them. In the first game, the Spurs blew them out by 29, the first game of the season. They're not looking good.
I can tell you what the problem is.
They ain't got no rebounding. No rebounding. They ain't got no help. They get killed on the boards. That's how you beat Golden State. You get them on the boards. That's it. It's over. Ain't got nothing.
That's a great line by Pat Riley. No rebounds, no rings. Nobody move. Marvin Gaye is on his way. Hoopster, Marvin Gaye will be right back with some more basketball.
Now, along with the United States Marine Color Guard to sing the national anthem, famed recording artist Marvin Gaye.
Let's and cry.
Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and God Radio Network with Doc Stanley and his posse, where we rope the rumors, solve tragic issues, and brand the truth. Trust in God.
Jump back in the basketball. The Knicks, after 9:23 of the first quarter, they're playing today, leading the Jazz 8-4. Solarski, maybe I said it wrong, our 20-year-old Kenyan winner of the New York City Marathon, 2 hours and 7 minutes and 51 seconds. And Kentani, third year in a row, she's winning 2 hours and 20 minutes. Those are your male and female winners of the New York City Marathon, a race that started years ago that just was just around Central Park. And, wow, monies have changed tremendously. Knicks up in the early going of their game tonight at the Garden, this evening at the Garden. And Solarski, male winner, and Kentani, the female winner at the New York City Marathon, Giants, Jets, big football game. Let's talk some more basketball hoops. What we got going, baby? Talk to me.
I was saying about the Golden State Warriors, the Lakers messed them up last night. And Curry, 317 three-point attempts has been canceled. That's it. So the streak is over for him, so he got to start over again. They got killed on the boards. So they ain't got no big man, no height. Like I said, nobody's not scared of them. They don't fear nobody no more. They don't scare nobody, Doc. Not at all. Not at all. And also, I got something else to tell you. Ray Allen, the guy who saved your Miami Heat when their first championship, has retired. So we want to wish him all the best. Ray Allen just retired, so he's going to be missed. I want to wish him all the best. He's going to be definitely in the Hall of Fame. And it wasn't for him.
Yeah, no,
the Spurs won back-to-back championship. It wasn't him hitting that three from the corner. Never forget it.
Well, that's why they got him there. I think he's the all-time three-point leader, too, in NBA history. Most three-pointers made. Let's take a quick break. It almost hoops up a little kind of blue from Miles Davis. Let's take a little musical break, talk some more basketball, try to get our football man on the scene. We'll be right back. Miles Davis, Kind of Blue. Don't anybody go. Don't move, hoops up. Be right back, baby. Thank you.
I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And we're right back to the hoops. Let's get back to the basketball, baby.
Yeah, what was I with? But Golden State, Ray Allen retiring, but the Golden State Warriors. Everybody talk about them. They got a lot of scorers. Yes, they do, but they ain't got no rebounding. No rebounding, and nobody's scared of them. They don't put no fear in nobody. I couldn't believe when the Lakers beat them.
You know, it's early in the season, okay? I can't believe that nobody's not scared of them, okay? There's got to be some fear. This is a team that won 73 games.
They're not going to win 70 this year. I'm sorry.
I think a lot of this is, you know, things are going the way you kind of called it. You felt that they wouldn't work. But let's look at this from a professional standpoint of view. It's not like this is midseason. I mean, they do have rebounders. They've lost some games, but let's look at the reality of the situation. They've lost games, and we said they shouldn't have lost these games. It's not like they've lost games that we thought they should have lost. You know what I mean? Okay. Well, they lost games that we felt they shouldn't have lost. They shouldn't have lost to the Lakers. They shouldn't have got blown out by San Antonio. Actually, I concur. They shouldn't have lost to San Antonio, and they shouldn't have lost to San Antonio by that amount. But the fact that they lost by 29-something points told you that something was wrong. Yes.
No rebounding.
It's going to take them time to gel, but at the same time, they're still a very good basketball team. At the same time, they're the champions of the division, and they have won a championship in the last 2 years. So, I mean, so it's not like they are a horrible basketball. I can't say that people don't fear them. How can you not fear Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, Thompson, and Green? You got to fear those guys. Those guys are elite basketball players. So, I mean, I think you've been a little hard on them by saying nobody fears them. How can you not fear them when you add a guy like Kevin Durant? There's no question that Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry are Hall of Fame bound, possibly Klay Thompson. You know, I mean, they just lost the championship last year, so they've been in the championship the last 2 years.
They lost a lot of guys, too, and free agents, too. I thought they should have kept that team together.
Okay, all right. Okay, no, I mean, well, yeah, I mean, you're on the point about that, but I think, you know, Durant doesn't hurt them. And, you know, you bring some integral parts, but they still have Green. They still have Thompson. And so in a case like that, now I may need more. I remember Reggie Jackson when Cassius Turner came to the Yankees. And I asked Reggie, you know, what were some adjustments they had to make? He said, well, now I've got to hit 4 or 5 more home runs. Rudy's got to knock in another 10, 11 RBIs. Salvando's got to knock in another 10 RBIs. Colton's got to win another 3 or 4 games. Blues, you know, I mean, adjustments have to be made. And to think that you're asking these kind of guys to make the adjustments, it's no problem. You know, so Reggie's going to give you, 47 home runs instead of 42. And Sabana's going to knock in 110 instead of 100. That means something. They've got the guys capable to do it. And, you know, I would rather see Reggie Jackson at the plate. I'd rather see Sal Bando at the plate than a free agent or a second-string guy. But, I mean, you made some valid points there. I just think that it's too early in the season to say, wow. I thought they had a great shot at winning 70 games again. I think they're definitely going to win the division again. And, you know, the consensus is a lot of people that they are going to wind up back in the finals. But, I mean, you brought some points out, too. But I think it's too early in the season to be saying, hey, you know what, it's not working. It's not working. Sports are very interesting. The hoops are, some thoughts here real quick, too, football-wise. You know, what's happening with your boy Roethlisberger? Will he be coming back?
He's playing today. He's playing.
He's back. Okay.
He's playing. Yep.
And
I thought that would be right, but I would have set him out and let him play against Dallas next. I mean, set him out for that's going to be the game.
Oh,
Dallas.
Yeah, but,
that's going to be.
Well, you need him. You need him in the lineup, and he could use the time to to make the adjustment. So, hey, bring him on in. Let's win this thing. As Kurt Thomas say, can you win this thing? And they can. So, and two things, his presence. He's just a prime-time quarterback. I think his presence is such a vital part. He's one of those guys, too, so that besides being an outstanding quarterback, he's a leader. And leadership, has its place, man, And you can't sleep on anybody. And that's the thing, we were talking about the fact we're going to have the Speech Brothers, we're going to have them in the future. They're going to be in town tomorrow. And one of the things, remember how Muhammad Ali slept on Leon Spinks. Yeah, he was, his answer, and hey, rest of his history. Spinks became heavyweight champion of the world. In fact, let's talk about that. Let me get that plug in here for them. Let me see.
Cleveland just almost lost last night. They are the only undefeated team in the NBA right now.
Yeah, well, almost only. They didn't, and they are still the champions.
Oh yeah,
and they are still the team to beat for a championship.
Right.
You just got to. And people forget too. For all intents and purposes, had they been healthy, they would have won the championship the year before. They came back last year. But had they still had Irving and Love, I think it kind of validates the fact that they would have won the championship.
He looked awesome out there. Oh, he's playing some dynamite basketball. Kyrie Irving. Mm-hmm. Oh man, he's something else.
Who's that?
I said Kyrie Irving's playing some good basketball so far.
He's always been
one of the top three guys with the top the best handles in the NBA. Him, Curry, and Chris Paul. One of the top three guys with ball handling skills.
Wow.
That's right. No guys, you better don't even get up on them because they'll break your ankles, man. That's for sure. I was watching Chris Paul break some ankles last night. They blew out the Spurs last night.
Well, I mean,
Clippers are playing well too.
Well, the thing too, we're looking at the Spurs are just a whole other team without
Duncan, right?
With Duncan, it's amazing that more fanfare hasn't been talked about a guy that's been a truly great player. Some people talking the greatest power forward of all time. I know that's a little ridiculous to some degree, but apropos in some thoughts, and you just thought that a guy like this would get a lot more ink for leaving the game and what he's done to the game and what he's meant to the game. It's just remarkable. Remarkable.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow night,
something else.
At Birdie's Bar and Grill in Rego Park from 5 to 8. Michael and Leon Spinks celebrating the 40th anniversary of winning gold medals, first brothers to do so in the Olympics, and then becoming the first brothers ever to win the heavyweight championship of the world. And
also, I want to make something else to say. Bernard Hawkins is making a comeback, too.
Well, Bernard, we made that announcement a couple weeks ago that he is, it's official now, he's going to be fighting in December. Well, Bernard had always said that he would be back. He's waiting for the right opportunity to come back. This seems to be the perfect opportunity for him, and so he's going to be back on the scene. B-Hop, oldest man to win a world championship, longest reigning, most defenses ever by a middleweight champion, and without question, a first ballot Hall of Famer. So we looking forward to that press conference and getting a chance to catch up with him. Sporting that block like right in the trusting guard. Manny Pacquiao came back last night and won. He also won the WBA welterweight championship. There's some talk.
Was that a knockout? Was that a knockout decision, Doc?
Decision.
Okay.
There's rumors flying
You know, as rumor has it, as Timmy Smithy would always say, there's talk about him and talking to Gilberto Ortiz, him and Mayweather may be getting them together again. I'm going to bring in Taz. Taz, you called it last night. You just thought there was too much Pacquiao, too much class, too much style. He won last night. No surprise to you, Taz.
Not at all. Jesse Vargas, you know, God bless him, good fighter, has a future in front of him in the welterweight and super welterweight divisions. But out of class, straight up and down, no special effects, just not athletic enough to deal with Pacquiao, who at 37 continues to marvel with his level of athleticism. And he did exactly what I thought he would do. He cat and moused him all night long. Effective in and out game. He's no longer a closer. He sort of middle relieves you to death now. And that's what happened to Jesse Vargas. And I knew exactly what would happen to him.
Well, you know, too, Chad, if we look at Mayweather and Pacquiao, these are two guys who are students of the game, but they're guys who stay in shape and they don't abuse their bodies. I mean, you look at Pacquiao, one of the big things for the controversy was he made the statement about the gay marriage, which the guy is a devout Christian, and with Christianity comes a reverence of taking care of your body, staying in shape. And I've always said this, you know, after a guy gets in the pros about 4 or 5 years, you know, you know what you have to do to get in shape. I know how many miles I have to run, how many push I have to do. The big thing is having that guy in the corner. When I come in the corner and Taz says to me, hey, doc, you know what, man, it's time to start going to the body. One, to have the trust in you, to two, know that you know what you're talking about, and then to have the ability to do it. Pacquiao has a lot of ability. He's still an elite fighter, and he's not a guy that has abused his body. So last night, you know, in your assessment, I'm looking, too, at what you talked about and Ward and Kovalev. I mean, the inactivity of Ward, okay, the injury to Ward, all these, it's the body. And I think Pacquiao showed last night that the body is still there because what's in the head is always going to be in the head, Taz.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and first of all, to the point about, you know, the gay marriage statement and everything else, he didn't offer those statements, you know, unsolicited. You know, people prided that out of him. You know what I mean? If it had it not been for that, then he doesn't even talk about it. You know what I mean? So I think that that's part of the unfair criticism of him.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, this is why you listen to Sports and Depth. Then you see what Taz said. You hear things here. You look. If you stay with Sports and Depth, you can't be. I should say my people would have bet that absolutely. What Taz said, if he wasn't asked, he wouldn't have answered. Okay?
That's right.
Tremendous point. You know, it's not like he was sitting around and said, hey, I got something to say. Tremendous point, Taz. Tremendous
point.
You
know, point. They say ask and you shall receive, right? So, I mean, they asked him a question. They asked him a question. He's an honest guy. He's never been known to cheat us in the ring. So he gave an honest answer and appraisal of how he felt about that situation. But the one thing about Manny that you said, you know, in terms of his body and everything else, I noticed that at the weigh-in. You know, fights obviously aren't won and lost on a scale, but they kind of are in how you see a guy's, you know, physical makeup. And when you look at Pacquiao's legs, you know, particularly the awesome calves that he has and all that torque that he produces from his thighs and everything else, he uses that. That's where the power comes from, how he turns his shots and everything else. But that's a fierce dedication to your craft, to your game, and to your fan base. Well, when you see a guy come to the ring in the type of condition that he comes in. So he's a model for all of these young fighters out there now in terms of how to keep yourself together and remain competitive in a brutal sport like boxing.
Yeah. You know what?
Mr. Tass, a question?
Yeah, go ahead. Shoot. Go ahead. Get him.
How you doing, Tass? How are you?
What's going on, boss?
I want to ask you, Pacquiao didn't hurt his shoulder. You think he would have beat Mayweather, or Mayweather would have won that fight?
I've always thought that Pacquiao beats Mayweather fully healthy. I think that Mayweather knows that, you know, everybody's got a man in boxing. Historically, we've always seen, you know, whoever presents the biggest puzzle, you know, there's always a piece out there that's waiting to complete you. And Pacquiao, to me, is the fight God's answer to Mayweather. I mean, he's cagey. He's a southpaw. He's crafty. He's got unusual speed and power. We know that Mayweather, even in his prime, has always had difficulty with southpaws. And I always tell people,
that's
yeah, guys, look,
you, Zab Judah. He had problems with
Zab
Judah.
Yeah.
And
I was just
Shane
about
Mosley.
To mention Zab
and
Judah.
Shane
was,
Mosley.
Yes.
Shane Mosley.
But particularly
right.
Judah,
you know,
if you really look at that.
Hold tight. You know, this is remarkable. This is remarkable. And it's not to me, Sports and Depth fans. Doc Sandy Sports and Depth, it's SID Sunday Sports and Noon, every sports. This is remarkable, but it's not. These are these guys, you learn things at Sports and Depth. You learn. Now, and not only did they say something, they validated it. Okay? Zab Judah, for all intents and purposes, Zab Judah was kicking Mayweather's butt. And that's right. That they had.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden,
and Shane Mosley. I think they've got
to a greater effect. I think that, you know, to me, I'm glad you mentioned Shane Mosley because he's a right-handed fighter. Obviously, you know, we saw what he did to Mayweather in the second round. But after the second round, Mayweather put on a clinic. You know what I mean? You know, against Zab Judah, the only thing that was the deterrent for Judah in that fight was his conditioning. We've
right.
always
yeah.
known that the Zab, you know, after eight rounds or so, he fatigues.
And another guy gave him a hard time, too. And he's
yeah,
messed
well,
Mayweather
well,
face
well,
up.
Okay, Hoopsa, back off. We'll just stay with southpaws. We're validating the southpaw thing. And
southpaw,
the thing
okay.
here, it's remarkable to me how a guy can be in a sport like boxing and not come in at 100%. I remember Alexis Guerra said something at the Empire press conference. He said, you know, you can get killed in boxing coming at 100%. And it's remarkable the talent that Zab has and had. And
mm-hmm.
at times, it sort of just wasted it. You know, it reminded me, well, not so much like, but Benitez was just a marvel, too, in the sense that he wasn't a guy that's very regimented when it came to training. But, you know, in Zab's case, you know, Zab had all this vast talent. Seemed like, no, Taz, he's like he was never the same after the Kalamazoo fight. And, you know, he got knocked down. And at that seemed to turn his whole career around. Instead of just staying, okay, you're knocked down, stay down, take the count, get up. Instead, he seemed to jump right back up like nobody saw it. And it seems at that point, Taz, his career was never the same.
You know what, Doc? It's so funny you mentioned that because, you know, I was kind of a kid, you know, back in 2001 when Mike Tyson showed up at the press conference and told everybody that he wanted to eat Lennox Lewis's kids and things of this nature, whatever. And, you know, Zab Judah was right there sitting next to Mike Tyson. And I remember seeing Zab and, you know, how immature he was and how shaped he was mentally from Mike Tyson. Now, when you have the type of skill set that Judah had in his prime, you're thinking to yourself, especially, you know, having been groomed a little bit by Pernell Whitaker and things of this nature, you're thinking that this guy is a potential all-time great if he just has his mind, you know, where it needs to be. And had he had the mentality of a Bernard Hopkins instead of Mike Tyson, well, maybe we're talking about a different type of a career. But, again, you know, Floyd Mayweather, to his credit, he had that type of resolve. You know, we see the strip clubs and all of the money and all of the things that go with that persona and things of that nature, whatever. But to a man and anybody that talks to someone that really knows Mayweather, this guy has been dedicated to boxing 24/7, 365 days a week for 25 years. And last night he showed me, too. Looking at him last night, he's still dedicated to boxing.
You're showing the money. I remember Roger talked about, and this was Mayweather was ebbing. He still hadn't become Mayweather yet. And he talked about how Floyd would be at a shopping mall and say, you know what, you guys get in the car. I'm going to jog behind the car on the way home. You know, and then mm-hmm. and you marvel at a guy like that, a guy like that. Why has Bernard Hopkins been able to last so long? Not only because of the lack of the ability of the guys, but his knowledge of the game and keeping his body in shape, something that was a forte of Ray Leonard. Every time you look at Ray Leonard, you say, man, you know, Ray's ready to go right now. And you bring a tremendous point, too, but you want to bring up, too, Chaz, is that it's not only physical, but it's mental.
Oh, yeah. That's really the denominator that sets everything apart for everybody. And you're going to see that on display, just like it was last night. Jesse Vargas was in there. He started thinking. And when you match, you try to match wits with a master and you're at a physical disadvantage, you're going to lose. And that's what happened to Vargas last night. You know what I mean? And so, you know, the same thing is going to happen more than likely in a different type of a way with Sergey Kovalev and Andre Ward. Ward is going to realize that he's not in there with a guy that's going to give him deference. You know, he's not in there with somebody that's going to wait on him and things of that nature. Sergey's going to come to the task to put three minutes of pressure on Ward every round. And what can Andre do, you know, with the level of competition that he's been in there with over the course of the last 5 years, combined with inactivity? Those are the answers that we're gonna get on November 19th with Ward. But in every elite fighter exists the desire for greatness, more than money, more than fame, more than anything else. They want greatness, and that's what guys like Mayweather and Pacquiao come to the table with.
Yeah, and that's the point that I was emphasizing against Dusty last night, as Ray Leonard said. And then we can talk about, you know, 2-2 is for the man who says it. Sometimes it's not about the money, it's about being the champ. And I think Kovalev likes being the champ. And he's like, what a tremendous point last night he brought up. Supposed to be about talking about Trust Garvin. You know what? The pressure's on Ward. You know, he's going to the plate. He has to hit a double as opposed to the guy who just has to go hit the ball. Kovalev just has to hit the ball. Ward has to hit a home run, and
yeah.
I'm going with you on this one. I like Kovalev. I like his style. Ward has never seen anything like him, but I think mentally and physically, Kovalev is just—he's ahead of. I mean, he's physically better, and I think he's more mentally prepared for this fight too. Taz, your thoughts?
As a fan, I would like to see Andre Ward get in there. Just as a fan, it would really be amazing to me to see Andre Ward go in there and put a paint job on this guy, you know, to go in there and neutralize him, take an arm away from him, you know, take him to places his mind has never been. It would be amazing to see Andre Ward do something like that. But the physical toll that takes on you round after round, you know, Kovalev will be, you know, when you're really a solid guy at your weight class, you probably fight at an optimal level at least 10 pounds over that weight class. Sergey Kovalev is going to enter the ring at somewhere around 188 pounds against Andre Ward. All right? He's going to make the 175-pound limit and get in there and fight him as a true light heavyweight will at about 188 pounds. That's a lot of man for Andre Ward to deal with. When you haven't gotten in there with the elite guys at 175, he's going to see the difference in power, the difference in range. Kovalev is real elastic, and he's got real pop on the end of his shots. So, you know, and contrary to what people understand, you guys, you know this, when you get caught with a shot that's flush, of course everybody knows it in TV land and ringside. But the punches that really do the most damage are the ones that don't necessarily land. They hit you on the gloves. They hit you on the arms. You know what I mean? They catch you on the side. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And they don't, and the elite guy that's punching you, they don't take nothing off the shots. You know what I mean? Everything you know what I mean? This is what Ward's got to deal with that night. And I think that's too much to overcome. As a boxing purist and as a real fan in that area, it would be amazing to see Ward neutralize somebody like that. But I just don't think that he has the physical capability to do it.
And only that type of Ward that night can do it. We'll see if it can happen. Doc Stanley Sports, the blog, talk radio on the Trust and Guard. And the Taz man is in here giving us the inside. The hoops is giving here. We're going to run closing out the show. Giants, Jets with big games today, big wins. They win. They continue their winning streak. The Jets will move closer into the playoff picture. The Giants will have second place in the NFC East because it looks like that things are going to work out pretty good for Dallas today as they're in Cleveland, but we'll see. Taz has told you what's going to happen. He told you last night it happened. Hoopster gave us an inside scoop. Gentlemen, we're going to run. We'll be back tomorrow.
I want to ask you one more question before we go off the air.
Go ahead,
Taz, what do you think would be the upcoming fight to watch out for?
Well, I think that, you know, right after this Ward Kovalev fight, you know, we've got Lomachenko and Walters in Las Vegas at the Cosmopolitan. That's a huge fight. because that's going to be another measure of what kind of greatness, you know, Lomachenko has. We know what Walters is all about. Watching Donaire in there with Magdaleno last night, you know, and, you know, he wasn't really overly impressive to me, and it just kind of brought to mind what Walters is about. But that's a great, great fight for boxing, and I think that that's something that, you know, everybody should be looking at, you know, here soon. And then we got some stuff on the horizon coming up in 2017, but, you know, to close out this year, I think that that's the biggest fight that we got to look forward to.
And Dante Wilder, what do you think about him?
What's that?
Dante Wilder.
Deontay Wilder, I think that he's still green. He still has a lot of technical flaws. He's a big hitter. He goes for it. But I don't think he's established himself as a clear dominant heavyweight in the world. I think that, honestly, Victor Ortiz is probably the best heavyweight in the world. But, you know, we'll see if these guys can get their head out of their butts and, you know, really come to the bargaining table. Maybe they can give the fans exactly what they see, particularly in the form of glamour division like heavyweight. Those guys, all the guys at the top need to be fighting each other.
And Tyson Fury
If Wilder loses Mark Breeden out of his corner, it's an integral part of his corner. That's going to be a big detriment, and that could be the beginning of the total unraveling of Wilder. He's got the injury now. They're going to have a fight-off between Stiverne and the number one contender, supposedly Don King's got that fight going up. The winner, that will be the mandatory for Wilder. But, you know, Taz and Hoopster, once guys get hurt, especially this young in their career, they're just kind of never the same, you know? Taz?
One fight can change everything. You know, if you match a guy up wrong early in his career, you know, he's no longer any good, and you never know what he could have gotten.
So who's gonna fight for Tyson Fury's belt?
Say that again?
Well, I think they're going to have a fight up with Klitschko. But the thing is, did you hear what Chad said? And that was the thing in the career with Ray Leonard and guys, matching them against the right guy that they could learn against and not get hurt against. And you, tremendous point. You know, the wrong matchup at the wrong time can be the end of the time of somebody's career there, Taz.
Yeah. We've seen it time and time again with boxing. You know what I mean? There's untold tales of greatness, you know, stemming from a lot of guys' career, you know, and closed doors because we never saw it. You know what I mean? Because they didn't get the opportunity to show you because they were mishandled in the very beginning stages of their professional career. And it was handled beautifully with Ray Leonard. You know, we've seen, you know, greatness happen with certain guys because they were guided right. And if he's guided the right way and allowed to maybe grow into whatever he can be, then he'll be all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ray Leonard, Tommy Hearns with Emmanuel Stewart, Mayweather, Gotti. You know, Gotti, I think Gotti had a real big transitional change in his career when he got Buddy McCurry, who in skills, I thought, you know, teaching an old dog new tricks, enough defense in his career to prolong it. But like you said, right guys, right time, right fights. And a lot of times, you know, you can't fool the guys. No. That's not the fight for my guy right now, Taz. They're not ducking anybody. They're learning, and they want to prolong a career.
Roy Jones, his career, all of the boxers, when you look at Pernell Whitaker, the way his career was handled after the 84 games, what he did, you know, a young Whitaker in there with kind of a seasoned Mayweather, you know, not a lot of people remember stuff like that. But when you pass certain, when you pass certain litmus tests, you know what I mean? When you say, that's when the eyes of the promoters and all your handlers say, they look at each other and say, okay, now we know we got something here. You know what I mean? Because at the right time, he beat the right opponent, and it was a certain time in his life that, you know, it presented an opportunity to take his skill set to another level. And this is what happens when you handle a guy the right way. You know what I mean? And just to make a quick point, I talked to a guy recently in Baltimore, you know, before I came out to Vegas for this fight here, Gervonta Davis at 130 pounds. This kid is a southpaw version of Mike Tyson. He's got everything. If Floyd Mayweather's team handles him the right way, he'll be a legend. You know what I mean? But he's right there on the cusp of that or total talent waste. And we know what happens. There's a thin line between the streets and the gym. One or the other will consume a guy. You know what I mean? But if you handle them the right way, then they have a chance to be everything that they can. And, you know, there's nothing worse than wasted potential. You know what I mean? So in boxing, I think that the lessons that we talked about at the beginning of this conversation with Mayweather and Pacquiao and how to go about being a professional, all of those things can't be stressed enough. You know what I mean? And for as far as a guide for young guys and to follow as far as, you know, what they want to be in the sport of boxing.
Taz, now what's that young man's name again, Taz?
His name is Gervonta Davis. Look him up. His nickname is Tank. And, I mean, you know, this kid is, to me, he's a can't-miss prospect. I think in 2017, he's going to go ahead and you'll start remembering this kid's name. I saw Oscar Valdez in there last night. You know, he's a featherweight champion of the WBO. He wouldn't last four rounds with Tank Davis. Four rounds. Yeah.
How old is this guy?
This kid is 21 years old. He's from Baltimore. And I'm telling you, he's 16-0 with 15 knockouts. I can't drop on the show who he's been in there with as far as, you know, sparring partners, you know, champions that you know. And they can't remember those sparring sessions they had with him.
Yeah. How tall is he?
The kid, he's about 5'6".
Wow.
About 5'6", 5'5", you know what I mean? And he's 130 pounds, wrecking machine.
I'm taller than him.
Yeah. But you know, he got that torque.
Like him. I ain't got the punch like him. I got the height, but not the punch.
That's right.
Before we go on our way, Taz lives from Vegas, Hoops to the Lives from our Brooklyn studios. Marvin Gaye has this to say for we gentlemen going on our way. Don't anybody move. Mr. Gaye, come on in here, would you please?
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time when the world won't be singing. When the world won't be singing. Flowers won't grow. No. Bells won't be ringing. Who really cares? Who's willing to try? Who is willing to try to save a world? To save a world that's destined to die. That is destined to die. When I look at the world, it fills me with sorrow. Little children today, really suffer tomorrow. Oh, what a shame. Such a bad way to live. Who is to blame? We can't stop living. Live for life. Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live,
I
But who really cares? Who's willing to try? Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, save our sweet world. Save a world that is destined to die.
Here, and we thank you for listening to the show. We once again sent out late birthday greetings to Odell Beckham. We had a birthday yesterday. My man down in Texas, down in the Cowboy country, and the Cowboys trying to go 7-0 against the Cleveland Browns today, Bill McCray. Tomorrow, once again, acknowledging and recognizing Smeeks Brothers 40 years as the first brothers to win gold medals, and the World Heavyweight Champion brothers Leon Spinks and Michael Spinks will hold an autograph signing November 7, 2016, at Birdie's Bar and Grill in Rego Park, Queens, New York. That's from 5 to 8 p.m., and it has been a monumental moral year for the heavyweight champion and the world brothers, Leon Spinks and Michael Spinks. The brothers celebrate the 40th anniversary of their 1976 Olympic gold medals. Leon was inducted into the National Boxing Hall of Fame, the U.S. Marine Corps Hall of Fame, and both of them were inducted into the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. Michael also celebrated the 35th anniversary of becoming light heavyweight champion of the world and presented a career lifetime achievement award at the recent Poconos Mountain Film Festival. In celebration, Michael and Leon will be signing autographs at Jay Bernerni's Birdie's Bar and Grill, 6328 Woodhaven Boulevard, Rego Park, tomorrow from 5 to 8. There will be a small fee. And remember, you know, I think we forget, too, that they had a son that became a world champion. Leon's boy became world champion out there in that St. Louis area. Gentlemen, we're getting ready to close. Last thoughts, Chaz. Any last words and thoughts
Corey,
before we leave?
Corey. His name was Corey Spinks.
Yeah, Corey.
Corey Spinks, yeah.
Chaz, I just think that
boxing, you know, to me, looking at everything right now, what's going on with the insurance regulations in New York City, you know, the million-dollar premiums that's being put out there, is really, really stifling the sport. I think that there needs to be more people to step up and challenge what's going on with that. We got a lot of local fighters, you know, throughout the state of New York and in New York City and all the boroughs who can't get big fights right now or small ones, you know, to feed their families because of those regulations. I think it has to stop, and somebody needs to put a petition together to really call some real serious attention to this because it's hurting the sport.
Tremendous point there, Chaz. So the last thoughts here before we get out of here? Pittsburgh going to do it today or what?
Well, they got to stay at top of the division. So, must win. It's an arch rivalry. So, we'll see what happens. You never know.
We'll
every given Sunday. Every given Sunday. So,
right.
Anybody could get beat at any given time.
Three thoughts. Life's most urgent question is, what are you doing for this? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Service to others is rent you pay for your room here on earth. Muhammad Ali. I am my brother's keeper, Roberto Clemente, dovetailed by Nelson Mandela. My brothers come in all colors. I leave you my simple thought. God bless you all. Touch and guard. Chaz, don't sleep. Talk more on. This tomorrow will be at Birdie's with the Spank. Now you Hardesty. Take it away. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Taz from Las Vegas, the Hoopster from Brooklyn, Doc Stanley from New York. God bless you all and trust in God. Enjoy your Sunday. Congratulations to our marathon winners. Once again, happy birthday, Odell Beckham Jr. Hope you get a nice little present today.